This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
Did that hurt?
Not enough.
Rusty. First, you know, we got in-season form going here. Conditioning, I'll be honest, fall camp, we didn't work a whole lot on it. What did we do in fall camp, Ryan?
I don't think we had fall camp. Oh, that's shit. Oh, shit. We didn't do fall camp.
Oh, man. Just call us Ole Miss football.
Shit.
Just forgot it again. I thought it was that lock-in. Oh,
damn it.
We're never going to make provost.
Never going to make provost. Email our bosses about how we didn't have fall camp.
I remember what happened. We all got back injuries and had to go get surgery.
Yeah, and now we're on recovery drugs. Mm-hmm. That's why we're like this.
Mm-hmm. Because he is a human, I hope that Hugh Freeze becomes well and that he heals up. I did see him coaching from a hotel room. And started to have questions because I was like, if you're being kidnapped, you blink twice.
Oh, I think this is his transition to become the first Jabba the Hutt coach.
Are you saying he's going to have like a sail barge?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Here come the Liberty Salacious Crumbs.
Sort of soaring through the tide water in this thing. This actually kind of works.
Fasa Bobo.
You're like, con, issues with Liberty University and with Hugh Freeze. Pro, recruiting from a sail barge.
Con, rancor. Pro, born again rancor.
He's given up his old ways. It's okay. He's actually not that deadly because you can kill him just by shoving a bone into his mouth.
Con, nude Hugh Freeze. Pro, Jerry Falwell Jr. in a chain bikini. I said Jr.
Oh. No, it's just you're going to make it real now.
You're going to make it all so real.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, God. Thanks.
Anyway, at this point, I'm just trying to summon the meteor myself.
Anyway, that's not what this episode is about at all.
It is now, fucko.
First of all, welcome to the only college football podcast on these internets, the Shutdown Fullcast. We are all of a crew from BannerSociety.com. That is our new, exciting, wonderful college football community endeavor, concept, brand, and lifestyle. I think it's lifestyle brand. It's a lifestyle brand.
Yes. Non-threatening inflammation. That's what I would describe it as.
It's the good kind of inflammation.
All my inflammations are threatening.
But go ahead, check us out there at BannerSociety.com. Subscribe to our newsletter, which is superb. It includes things like Jason Kurt just giving you like a watch grid for what to check up on this weekend. It includes, you know, occasionally me throwing 800 words of nonsense in your inbox. It's got the whole crew. It's got Bud telling you how to like make money. Because there's two things you're going to get if you hang out with Bud Elliott, okay? You're going to get well-grilled meat and a very detailed description of how he grilled said meat. And you're going to get profits. If you gamble and you win with Bud, legally, if you gamble legally with Bud.
And you use those profits to buy more meat.
It's a cycle. We call it the Elliott cycle. And frankly, it's a winner, especially because public school kids, you only got to remember two things. That's it. Money and meat. Get the money, get the meat, get the money.
Money and meat. Welcome to the University of Texas.
That's it. notice, money, meat. We didn't say anything about 10 wins, did we? Didn't say a darn thing about 10 wins. We have the topic today of my favorite thing, which is trying to celebrate college football players who are that guy or who were just brilliant college football players who, I don't know, maybe that was it, y'all. Maybe you're just a college great, and then maybe you go on to just have a perfectly respectable, successful life, start a family, get a real job, maybe not get a real job and just open a bar.
That's right? A real job. That's a hard job.
It's a very hard job. Right.
It's realer than our jobs.
Totally. Maybe you go pro in something else is what we're saying. Okay. That's who we want to talk about. Because for years I've wanted to have this, and I think we're going to build it. We might need your help in building it. It's the People's Heisman. Title's a little problematic, y'all, because turns out Heisman Trust, it's kind of their thing. They're a little sensitive about its use. They don't like you to sell it, make money off of it, mention it, or even talk about who you're going to vote for before you do it, which is, as a Heisman voter, I disagree with that policy, all right? But they don't like you to talk about it. That's how sensitive they are about it. But the concept needs that to just sort of frame what we're talking about here. Are we talking about players who were great? In some instances, yeah. Yeah, in some instances, we're talking about players who were legitimately great in college. Are we talking about people who were great as pros? Probably not. Probably not. This was probably the peak for y'all, right? Like, he could win the actual Heisman, but if I had to give you a prototype for that this year, right? I mean, Felipe Franks is going to have a good year, statistically speaking. Felipe Franks probably won't be starting for the New York Jets. Actually, that's a terrible comparison.
No, they've kind of got it together, but you could say the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, might start for the Bengals a couple games. Could you see him creep in on the Texans sideline every now and then?
I could definitely see him making the Raiders.
This guy.
Felipe Franks. I like that he only has one initial and he gets two names out of it. That's efficiency.
People who are NFL first type people, I'm just going to go ahead and issue the grave warning, right? From beyond the veil of college. Like, where did we first see the backup quarterback for the Oakland Raiders playing football where where did we first see him? That'd be the University of Tennessee, right?
That's right.
That's where we first saw Nathan Peterman, the quarterback in question. Mm-hmm. And what did he do there? Turnovers.
Don't give him no, I veto this.
What? He's not getting a People's Heisman. Okay. I'm issuing a warning about why people should pay attention to us, because we saw it first, y'all. We knew it was going to happen.
All right. So can I ask some clarifying questions about the People's Heisman?
Sure. Before we get into like watch lists and because what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead and hand out retroactively the People's Heisman for 2014 to 2018.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea. But first, let's go over a couple of questions.
Okay. So here's what I think will help me and maybe help the audience as well. I have 5.5 names, and you'll see why I say half. And I want you to.
Because one of them is Nick Saban.
I'm going to tell you that I'm going to give them to you, and you tell me if they qualify.
He's not tall.
As at least not necessarily like the winner from their year, but like, oh yeah, they would have been in the running.
Yeah.
Okay. L. Roberson. Kansas State quarterback.
Absolutely. L. Roberson would have been a People's Heisman finalist for sure.
Okay. Steven Garcia.
Yes. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Mall sword collection is like a Candyland shortcut to the People's Heisman Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let me make it a little harder now. Khalil Mack, is he too good to be people's Heisman?
Yes, he's
Yeah. Too good, too successful. Like, he was traded.
Which, it's a nice problem to have. Also, going on to blow up in the NFL and enjoy genuine NFL success, that's enough of a reward.
Okay. Because we're Medill grads, the Autry brothers.
I'm going to say that because it's the people's Heisman, we can't entertain a Northwestern player.
Okay. That wouldn't be objective.
Class warfare is a factor.
However,
here.
Counterpoint, Isaiah Bowser.
Yeah.
Let's see how this season goes. He's on the watch list this year for sure.
Yeah, I will say this. You know how the path to heaven is but narrow for the rich man?
Right.
The path to the people's Heisman, real squeaky narrow for a Northwestern grad.
Right. All right, my last one. Rodrigo Blankenship.
Maybe too good.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good.
Like, all he really did besides be good was wear glasses.
Okay, what about Wisconsin's kicker from a couple years ago? Rafael Gaglianone, I think his name was.
Yeah, AK Big Chief. Yeah.
That's a better one.
Okay. Yeah, that's a much better one, especially because the people's Heisman will not depend on, but will definitely reward quirk, abnormal size in either direction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or flair. So
bonus entry then. Brad Wing, people's Heisman?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Like Brad Wing probably would have won the people's Heisman that year.
Yeah.
Like, I would have had no problem turning the whole thing over to him because the minute that you get a touchdown called back for taunting on a fake punt as an Aussie punter at LSU, consider the layers I just gave you.
Yeah,
that's a tiramisu that I'm going to go ahead and put on my plate. Let's do it.
Okay. Thank you. That is actually very helpful because
now we've triangulated.
Now I have a good sense of it's basically this very specific intersection of good, not great, fun, and a little quirky.
Personality.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. I will say this. You can be real close to great.
Yeah,
Brad
Wing was terrific.
You can be a great college football player.
Right.
There were situational circumstances to Brad Wing's greatness, by which I mean having a touchdown called back as a special teamer that transcended due to their impact, that transcended his actual skill, which is very high.
Right. But Randy Moss is far too good to be a people's Heisman, right? Like, when you are actually at the Heisman ceremony, you've sort of eliminated yourself from people's Heisman.
I'm not sure there's a blanket protocol we can put over everything, because the exception that I would put to, say, a Heisman ceremony proviso is a defensive player who gets a token invitation to the Heisman ceremony.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's like our best example of that?
Of somebody who could appear at both, correct?
Right, but who's Honey Badger? Would he be close to that?
Yeah,
Matthew would be close to that. Moss is very close to that because of the route he took, right?
Right,
He was just destroying people at Marshall, right?
Right, right.
And doing so with immense flair. I think he's really close to it. I think any number air raid quarterbacks, if you went back and looked, you're like, oh God, he threw for 5,000 yards and 80 touchdowns.
Graham Harrell, y'all.
You know, he wore a cute Christmas sweater before that was entirely too common. Yeah, right. That's Graham Harrell or BJ Simons. I think that's you could definitely have any of them there. You know, I would include another player who to me you know, if I were to give you a prototypical guy, Eric Dungy. Eric Dungy at Syracuse was great. Eric Dungy did some things that no pro should do in any sport, right, at quarterback. Yet, he was brilliant on his own terms and statistically pretty good. So I think what we're trying to do with the People's Heisman is give you somebody who is underappreciated, who is charismatic, who is, generally beloved by their team, or at least respected and feared.
Yeah, that is where I would put up a fence or a roadblock in front of the Moss thing. He was never underappreciated.
Yeah. You know, like if I were to give you under
not once he got to college anyway.
You know, like Iowa State, I'm gonna speak to your hearts here. Troy Davis. He was at the Heisman, he got votes. He was like 5'2". Right?
Right.
But a dervish. Just an unstoppable whirlwind of a man on the football field. He gets prime consideration for a People's Heisman retroactively.
Who was Mississippi State's little bowling ball running back from played with Dak Prescott? I can't remember his name.
I don't know who you're talking about, but that just reminded me of Rennie Curran at Georgia would probably also be another one that I'd throw in there.
Right.
Yeah, but you're talking about like 5'6", like Thunder Wonder. Like,
if you've been described as a bowling ball.
I'm going to look it up because this is going to drive me insane.
It will drive you mad, please, because it's also going to drive me mad. By the way, People's Heisman, you're talking about a particularly charismatic like pairing of running back and quarterback. That's a great place to go ahead and look for People's Heisman candidates, because you might have a quarterback who goes on to the NFL and you might have a running back. You rarely have both in a good duo. And when that happens, look at the one who didn't go to the pros or didn't pan out in the NFL. That's probably the person we'd nominate. I have a real good nominee in that sort of format for.
So I found this running back.
Okay.
It's Josh Robinson.
Yeah.
I don't remember him at all.
5'9", 215.
Oh, wow.
He got about 1,600 yards from scrimmage and 12 touchdowns for that 2014 Mississippi State team, which, if memory serves, was the first team to ever get the number one ranking by the College Football Playoff Committee.
Wow. Yeah, there's actually the state of Mississippi figures in the retroactive People's Heisman that I just sketched out before the program. At one point, remember, in the top three we had, or top five, we had Mississippi State and Ole Miss. And the world, shockingly, did not enter Armageddon phase at that point, somehow.
Did either of them make the playoff? No. No, they did not.
No.
Was it because one knocked the other out in the Egg Bowl? It didn't help, but probably wasn't happening either.
Didn't really help. And was it also, by the way, just a relatively meaningless win for that other team? Yeah. On the board, it was pretty meaningless considering potential outcomes. Was it meaningless in the heart? Never.
Never. Never.
Never.
Hey, everybody. How are we doing?
Oh, good Lord.
Jason Kirk out of goddamn nowhere.
I was detained by a project I had to wrap up and also putting out the fires of the read option watch grid where 11 of 11 people who've contacted me so far want it to go back to the way it was. I have an uprising on my hands dealing with conservative factions who can't handle change. So I think I'm going to be forced into reverting it to its 2018 and previous form.
Coward.
That's what I have going on.
Coward.
I figured you for a quitter, Jason.
I'm a Democratic leader is what it is.
Coward.
The public has decided in the spirit of the People's Heisman. The public has decided. I had a comment and a question. I've tried to listen to keep up. Did we decide that Heisman finalists are ineligible for the People's Heisman?
For the most part, although I would like to throw in an exception for somebody like a defensive player who gets a token invite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, so only defensive players and linemen, like who we know don't actually have a chance to win.
But like Ndamukong Suh would not qualify because A, he had like a decent case that year, and B, probably too good, right?
Correct. I think Sue is the hands-down winner for that year. He didn't even get invited, did he?
To the Heisman ceremony?
Was he invited?
I don't remember if he was or not.
I would have to check, but I would just maintain that, like, that actually is on the Heisman. That ain't on us.
That's right? True.
Like, that's their mistake, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like, we're going to appreciate the player on their own merits, right?
So is there ever a potential case in which a player could win both?
I would say no. I would say no.
But then that's making contingent on them.
If I'm handing it out, I would say it could happen. The closest case for me here, if I had to put it on there, like, would be Randy Moss if I was just thinking about it, because Randy Moss was already a legend who was never going to win the Heisman or be allowed to win the Heisman out of Marshall. Right. So I would cap him for either one. and be completely happy and fine with it. There's a couple of cases, like a couple of the recent cases, where I think in another year, the person that I chose for the People's Heisman could have been invited to the old Heisman ceremony, right? Mm-hmm. And the example that I name will be pretty clear. I just think like they got crowded out by people on teams with better records or you know, people who put up more numbers against like lax competition. You'll see, but like, I think it is, it has to be categorically possible because I don't want the Heisman to determine who gets it. Like, we want to celebrate somebody who is, we can celebrate somebody who's scary good. I think it helps if that scary kind of good is either underappreciated or it's like the Bo Wallace kind of scary, the Stephen Garcia kind of scary, where right. You're like, I don't know what's going to happen,
this
y'all.
This is combustible in all directions. Ndamukong Suh was a finalist. There were five finalists that year, so he did get an invite. He finished fourth in the voting, but he got like a decent number of first place votes. And then you remember that Mark Ingram won it and Toby Gerhardt was second. You're like, this could have been so much more. This could have been so much more. It's not even like, oh, he clearly deserved it more than they did, because I'm not trying to like really dunk on them now.
Yeah.
But it could have been so much more awesome to just been like, yeah, two perfectly fine running backs in very running back friendly systems and schemes. Too bad. We're giving it to the D lineman and we're putting him over the quarterback who only beat him in the conference championship game because he bent time.
Ryan, you threw out an adjective there just a second ago that I think may be the key to discerning the committee's feelings, the People's Heisman Committee feelings about any given player: combustibility, which can be real good and it can be real bad. Yeah. And either way, I think we have a marked appreciation for it.
Do we need to put together like a threat matrix?
Yeah. I feel like memorability is key here.
Right.
Because like, think of the number one draft picks where you're like, oh yeah, that dude was awesome in college. Well, what'd he do? Well, he had large stats and he won some games. But like, do you remember things he said, things he did? Like, do you have a gif? You know what I mean? Like, I think you need that stuff.
I think that's definitely a strong portion of the resume. Yeah.
Like Cardale Jones, to do a recent one.
Yes.
Three-game legend.
Yes.
That's all he needed. My other question, which might have been addressed, and forgive me if so, this is excellent audio.
Sure.
Either way. Have we discussed the name potentially evolving down the line?
We haven't gotten to that yet, no.
Okay. If we were to say hand out an actual trophy, like we couldn't, like the Heisman people, I think you referenced this, like they would assassinate us. So I think eventually we would need to find a name.
Also, because we don't want this trophy to be tarnished by the Heisman.
Yeah.
Which typically only goes to running backs and quarterbacks, right? Like running backs, quarterbacks.
I can't think of a time when it's been awarded to a player who wasn't a running back or a quarterback, frankly.
I mean, who was the last?
Our trophy is the Antichrist trophy, but the Antichrist doesn't call himself the Antichrist. That'd be a little obvious and on the nose.
Yeah, he's Dwayne.
Dwayne Antichrist. Hey.
Oh, man, it's going to be a real bummer if The Rock turns out to be the Antichrist.
No. Listen. Did you ever read all those Tribulation books? The Antichrist is going to be beautiful. He might be it.
Mm-hmm. He shall have swole traps. Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to do the numerology and get back to y'all.
Okay. All right. You work on the numerology.
He literally has a beast tattooed on his arm. No, this is worrying.
Journey to which mountain, anybody?
The Rock, I'm sorry that we said you're the Antichrist.
No, but we said it was because you're beautiful.
That's true. It is, as Antichrist labels go, this one is flattering.
The Rock is going to post an I'm not...
Six.
The Rock is going to post an I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed Instagram video, and we're all going to feel really bad.
And then Elizabeth Warren's going to hate us, too. This is complicated.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to go ahead and sort of make the case and just give you an idea, okay? We'll talk about people who definitely have the potential to win the People's Heisman or whatever y'all help us call it, because we're going to ask for your help in picking the name for this and discuss kind of how we're going to do it. But in addition to that, I was going to go ahead and just set the table by giving you a little simulation. If the People's Heisman had been handed out for like the last 5 years, who we would be looking at, right? in competition. That means we start with 2014. And I think like this, we're off to a banging start here, because this should drive home sort of what we're looking at in terms of players. All right. 2014. Oh, yeah. Guess who wins the People's Heisman? That's Dr. Bo. Bo Wallace of Ole Miss in 2014.
Doctors have won all kinds of awards before being stripped of their licenses.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Doctors have also lost some patients on the table and made some miraculous saves.
You should, to learn more, you should watch the documentary, The Fugitive.
That's the Bo Wallace story in full. I'm not going to tell you which character he is by scene. He's probably Tommy Lee Jones. I don't care! throws three picks against Arkansas. I don't care! He did that, by the way, but let's go ahead and go over the full arc of things here, okay? At one point, Ole Miss in 2014 did something they had just like almost never done, which was go 7-0, rise to the rank of three.
Gross.
All right. Don't do that again. The ranking or the rolling?
The rolling. Don't do that again. Don't do that while you're sitting next to me. There's like a fine mist.
Okay. We'll put up a spit shield.
Your coworker is now, so she can file a complaint against you for that.
So moist.
That's true. Speaking of wet and ready, Dr. Bo Wallace.
God.
7-0. And this is the team, by the way. If you'll remember, 23-17 victory over the University of Alabama. A shocker. Pulled off by who? Yep, that's right. Three-star prospect Bo Wallace. At 7-0, Ole Miss was primed with Bo Wallace playing occasionally daring, sometimes speculative football, but leading the Rebels to greatness. They lost four of their last six at that point, which is where we get to peak Bo Wallace and peak Ole Miss all at the same time, including a 30-0 loss to Arkansas and a bowl loss to TCU, which is still one of the worst beatings I have ever seen in a bowl game.
I think we talk about that on the bowl season Blood Week episode.
We do. Yeah, this is where he goes zero touchdowns, three interceptions, only throws for 109 yards. Clearly has no clue what he's looking at. These aren't interceptions, by the way, that are, I don't know, you know, like that's a one-on-one situation and the DB won. No, I'm talking airmailing him. Like straight to guys he just did not see in coverage. But here's where he wins the People's Heisman and redeems himself. That's correct. With an Egg Bowl victory over Mississippi State, helping to cripple Mississippi State's larger ambitions in terms of bowl season and championships. In addition to that, winning the Egg Bowl and helping destroy Mississippi State's season. What more could I do to argue for him as a People's Heisman than his brilliant and sometimes erratic play, his not playing in the NFL currently, his magnificent victory over Alabama, and just for color, you know, losing 30-0 to Arkansas in the same season. Not a great Arkansas team either, by the way. 2015. This one I just gave to like, I like occasionally you just pick a good player who was kind of colorful, who didn't get enough pub. Zach Cunningham of Vandy. Do you remember Zach Cunningham?
Yeah.
He's a monster for Vandy that year. An absolute beast. And there's like a long tradition of like Jamie Winborn, guys who went to Vandy and just, you know.
You guys remember, you have to remember, there was a period of a couple years in which we all felt regular sympathy for Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was Cutler and then it was guys like Jamie Winborn and finally like Zach Cunningham, if you'll remember.
Zach Stacy too. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Stacy. But Zach Cunningham makes a game winning tackle against Georgia, if you'll remember, in the open field. He was just a brilliant linebacker who, you know, did not go on to first round greatness, but I would definitely include in there because every time I watch Vanderbilt, you're just like, yeah, that guy, I don't know what you do with him. 2016's People's Heisman winner, a little more colorful. And I think like a really cool story and a player who I will set up this thusly. Had a cool story because he just like had a very, very hard life, went to USF and became a quarterback who was more productive than I even remembered and who was just beloved by USF fans and by people who just happened to watch him play. He wasn't ever going to be a real NFL quarterback prospect, and that was fine because Quentin Flowers, the 2016 winner of the People's Heisman, just did nothing but put up astonishing numbers for a USF team. Like week in and week out, year in and year out. In 2016, he throws for 2,800 yards and 24 TDs. He runs for 1,500 and has 18 TDs. But most importantly, he plays in the same backfield with another guy who could have won the People's Heisman in theory, Marlon Mack. Do you remember Marlon Mack?
Sure.
Yeah. This is the, like, if you told me, what do you miss about not having the NCAA football game around? It would be not getting to play with 2015, 16, 17 USF running the read option and the spread option out of the backfield for USF.
You would have to sim through your defensive series, but that would be very fun.
That's fine. It's basically what I do anyway. That's fine. That would be incredible. Also, awesome dude. Like, awesome dude who was just really, really fun to watch. He is one of the reasons that I believe is the 2017 USF-UCF game just caught fire and didn't stop burning for 3 hours. And the final score was something like 52-51, including like four lead changes in the last 3 minutes. Quentin Flowers is part of that greatness. So there you go. People's champion, Quentin Flowers. See, you can pick a good player for the People's Heisman, right? But you can even pick a great player. I just think that like college has to be the preference here, and there has to be no sort of future hope of like athletic recognition, which for you know, Quentin Flowers, who was a mobile quarterback with really good arm and just like a very charismatic team player, wasn't really going to happen at the NFL level, right? Or the CFL level for that matter. 2017 is kind of a special case, but I think that if I explain it to you, you'll get it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 2017's winner is Joel Lanning.
Oh, okay.
Joel Lanning.
Why?
Of Iowa State. And here's why. He played for 2 years for Iowa State as quarterback. And then in 2016, he also played wide receiver because they need him to move there. And he was a running back. Like he moved around between three positions while he was at Iowa State. And in 2017, when Jacob Park took over at starting quarterback, he didn't move to wide receiver. He moved to middle linebacker from quarterback. I don't know anyone else who'd ever done this and was not even granted a starting position. He just wanted to play. And Joel Lanning played on special teams. He was for a time like a back in the Wildcat, but then he just sort of learned to play linebacker on the spot and played in 12 games and had 114 tackles, including 20 against Texas. Dude had 20 tackles a year after playing quarterback for Iowa State.
He fucked Oklahoma up in that game too.
Oh, yeah. He was a monster. His line in that, first of all, he played two positions in that game. He had a sack. He had a fumble recovery. He had eight tackles. And he ran for 35 yards. Did I forget anything? Yeah, I did. Because he also passed the ball in that game twice for 25 yards. What more do I need to sell you on the brilliance of Joel Lanning as the 2017 People's Heisman?
This year we do have a quarterback who moved to linebacker. I'm trying to find which team it is. I saw it just a couple days ago. I only say that to say we could see the proud lineage of Joel Lanning continued this season somewhere.
I think
20
it's
tackles.
I think it's at UNC. Because this is going around.
That's right.
Because it's Mac Brown who did it. Mac Brown, again, decides Chaz. A quarterback should play defense instead.
The dude's name is Chaz. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody can get Chaz to transfer and play quarterback for your team, you'll win 10 games, and that guy will probably get the actual Heisman.
Oh, that may be sad. I am a little surprised you didn't go with Khalil Tate for 2016.
That's, you know, my abiding affection for Quentin Flowers really did that.
Yeah.
Right? Also, like, Khalil Tate is still, like, kind of in the league and has, you know, has parts
no,
of,
I
like...
No, I get it.
Yeah.
He'd be a 2- or 3-time finalist, right?
Right.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe, like, not last year, so maybe 2-time finalist.
Depending on how this year goes.
He's off to a hot start this year.
Right. Right.
Like 100%. Yeah. I don't think you get, you know, that's the problem though, is that like, he's not quite done and he didn't really like what he only, did he have 6 games?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. That doesn't make him ineligible. I'm just saying that, you know, Quentin Flowers is in my heart, y'all. Okay. And not just because I want to tear people up in a video game they haven't made for years. With him and Marlon Mack in the backfield. All right. 2018. You know, this is like, if you want to have a back-to-back winner here, the best candidate I can think of is Jason Kirk's golden boy out there, just shining in the Pacific, just repping his new home state of Hawaii. And that'd be Cole McDonald.
My two sons are very different, Joe Burrow and Cole McDonald.
Yeah, I really thought you were going to say Joe
Brothers
Burrow.
Brothers often are.
They have received a differing amount of sunshine, for one thing.
Very.
They take to it a little differently.
They have a wildly varying degree of tattoos.
Yeah.
As in, I don't know if Joe Burrow has one, and Cole McDonald is a tattoo.
This is that thing you do where you, like, they've combined for... Yes. It's like when Serena played Maria Sharapova the other night, the broadcast was like, they've combined for 278 weeks at number one. It's like Maria Sharapova had 20 of those.
Let's take Cole's passing yardage and Joe's rushing yardage against Georgia to create the perfect college football
the
player.
The perfect player.
And just prorate that out, right, across 13 games to greatness. Yeah, last year was a strong crew of potential candidates. Hard to pick one because Gardner Minshew's sitting right there, right? Gardner Minshew's got a headband. I mean,
he might be the choice. I think he's probably the choice.
I mean, he's up there. With foresight, we could probably go ahead and say, you know, Cole's got another year. Cole opened strong, by the way.
Cole's
candidate for the People's Heisman.
Cole's the 2019 leader, I think.
So maybe we just said, hey, son. You wait a year. That trophy's probably going to be yours. We'll give this to Gardner Minshew with his captain check down. That man hit a running back in the flat for 3 yards harder than anybody I have ever seen. More decisively and with more flair, like, bang, 2nd and 7, y'all. Let's go. But yeah, strong class last year. Tough picks. I think
Benny Snell would have been a good competitor last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Benny Snell is also extremely strong. You know, he might be, you know, pending, right? Like he might be too good.
Right.
Pending NFL performance to really sort of be a Heisman, people's Heisman shoe-in. But on the whole, yeah, I would go ahead and put him on the watch list for sure. The 2019 leader in the clubhouse, Jason's right. It's Cole McDonald, y'all. It's got to be.
This is not helpful necessarily, but I'm not going to start being
out of
on
character
the show.
For us.
I know. The first name, when you told us this is the episode we were doing, the first name that came to my mind, Chucky Keaton.
Yes. Absolutely. First year Chucky Keaton.
Yes, absolutely.
Mostly because, to Jason's point about memorability, I have such crystal clear memories of watching his first ever game, which is on the road against Auburn the year after they won the national championship with Cam. Going back and looking at this game, does anybody remember what Auburn was ranked going into it?
Pretty high up, were they not?
Go ahead. Throw me a guess. This is, again, a team
three?
That is
four?
Just...
Four?
Three?
They were 23rd.
Never mind. So less than.
Okay. Everybody
so clearly looked at this Auburn team, saw Cam, saw Gene Chizik, and was like, nope, I know where I put my chips. The defending national champion comes in 23rd, and they very nearly lose to Chucky Keaton. Utah State on the road has a 10-point lead with 3:38 to play, and they just couldn't hold on to it at the end. But like, he had an extremely snake bit career, but kept doing this throughout his career. Later on, he narrowly loses to Wisconsin on the road, to USC on the road. He did beat USC in OT in 2012, tore his knee 1 million times, and from what I can tell, is now a grad assistant at Texas Tech.
Yeah, he got into coaching. I think he was at I think he actually did it at Utah State for a couple years.
Yeah,
started while he was rehabbing, but yeah, now he's in Lubbock.
So I think Chucky has three different points in his favor. One is he's good in an obscure way, right?
Right.
Like you
right.
can only be so big yeah. of a star in Logan, Utah. Two is he was around for 5 years.
Correct.
That's a lot of memories, and that also means the NFL didn't come calling after three.
Right.
Which is important. And third is his name is Chucky, which is fun to say.
Good. It's yeah, yeah. If he's just like Charles
Chuck,
Keaton.
Chuck Keaton.
Yeah, it's not as good.
Charlie Keaton.
Chad
yeah.
Keaton.
Yeah, right, right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Can I give you guys a throwback?
Yes.
A further throwback than that? So I've been in my quest to pepper the Banner Society Instagram with lots of entertaining pictures of beloved players and coaches and broadcasters past. I've been going through the hard drives on all my old laptops, and there's a different connotation with it now. Obviously, we have a lot of respect for him now for different reasons. But at the time that he was a player, do you guys remember how we all felt about Colin Kaepernick?
Loved him.
Yeah, I found this because I remember, you know, we named him the Angry Ostrich very early on. But I have I found like photoshops from the Yahoo days of like his head photoshopped onto an ostrich with a big old rhinestone pistol on his hip. But that's somebody from like the, what would have that been? 08, 09, 07, 08.
A little bit later. I think he's like 09.
But yeah, Colin Kaepernick in his Nevada days is probably the first time I remember as a sports professional person, arguing with people to pay attention to a guy just because we like to watch him, not necessarily because he was a world beater. Anyway, that's all.
No, I mean, he's a good throwback. I had another one in mind when I think of players. So I go, oh, yeah, Ricky Stanzi.
Yes.
Ricky Stanzi.
See, I was going to go same region, but I was going to say Seneca Wallace.
Yeah.
Seneca Wallace might be too good.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. I mean, Seneca Wallace, you know, the strongest thing he has is that he got Iowa State to like within striking distance of the number one spot. And then Iowa State happened.
Oh. Okay, hang on. That reminds me, because I guess this used to be more remarkable because now everybody has GarageBand and can do it themselves. But there was a time in which I think recording a rap album as a player would automatically get you, or really any kind of musical album would get you into a high ballot consideration for people's Heisman. And to that end, I submit Matt Grothy.
Oh, you? I would
do
go ahead.
Y'all remember Matt Grothy's rap?
Yes.
Okay.
I also remember that he used to go get like 1,500 to 2,000 calories worth of Chick-fil-A after practice every day. That was his thing. And
he needed that.
to heal your soul after a USF football practice. Another guy in terms of throwback who would be on here, just like two names, Malcolm Kelly, another important rapper and wide receiver for Oklahoma. If you remember him, he's the holla at me Stoops. Right? Sitting sideways, doing like the best Texas style rap in the locker room after a bowl victory. Ahmad Batman Carroll.
Oh, God.
Ahmad Batman Carroll for Arkansas.
Batman, please. It's a family name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Batman. Ahmad Batman Carroll is also definitely on this list because Ahmad Batman Carroll, along with Fred Smoot, they kept notes on exactly how much trash to talk to people on the field and what to tell them, all right, by person, well-researched notes.
That's
mind
some
you.
Duke basketball energy.
It is, but his name was Batman, and he played for Arkansas, so that's just going to cancel out the Duke basketball there for me.
Mm.
Arkansas Batman is not a thing we've ever explored, and I actually don't want to start today.
Yes, we have. Ozarkham Asylum.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I like it because he has a secret lair. Like he has his
all
his
of Arkansas. Like, Arkansas is America's secret lair.
Like Fayetteville is Wayne Manor, and then and then Little Rock is that's like Ra's al Ghul's strongholds or something.
Fayetteville is probably full of Waynes. I will give them this.
Yeah, middle name Waynes. that's the thing.
Walton Manor.
You change everything about Bruce Wayne if you make him Bruce Wayne Robinson, right?
Bruce. Or like Jimmy, just change his first name to James. Jimmy Wayne.
Jimmy Wayne.
Jimmy Wayne Duder.
Crockett.
Yeah.
The third. Well,
Crockett's a good one.
That's an entirely. How are we feeling about Scooby Wright?
Yeah, contender.
There's a lot of is Arizona the highest producer of people's Heisman candidates?
If I just start naming Arizona players, it really feels like it. Yeah. As long as I leave like Rob Gronkowski off the list, right?
I don't know. I mean, even Gronk, like even Arizona's best players are contenders. You know
Willie
what I mean?
If I said like
Nick Foles, Gronk,
Willie Tuatama, right? Scooby Wright, who was like a one-star, no-star recruit who had games where he piled up like, you know, 18 tackles and like five for loss and single-handedly destroyed Oregon season. Yeah, like
I just got passed a note. We're to refer to him as Super Bowl better than Tom Brady, Nick Foles.
Right.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Yes.
Just quick reminder.
He has no other nicknames.
And by extension, that proves that Arizona is a better school than Michigan. Sorry, these are notes I'm being handed.
Is there some sort of bonus point being awarded here for like West Coast players because they are on when things are sillier, they are on TV and they have, you know, less viewing competition, you're more likely to see these moments? Like, I think that could be a factor here in Arizona and Hawaii getting lots of consideration.
Yeah, because they're late night heroes, right?
And like, I think it's fine to give them these extra points. I mean, I don't think that's like a thing to consciously adjust for. Like, I think it's fine. Like, regional bias has been a thing throughout college football history. So if we want to say that this award is a little bit biased in favor of late night players, that sounds fine.
Are there schools that just like won't win a people's, like will USC ever give us a people's, or have they given us a people's Heisman?
Or
Juju Smith-Schuster, I would
argue
for. Who again is way up there on the might be too good line, but also the taunting Utah players mid play, I think has to put him under consideration.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's real strong.
That's an example of my favorite. Juju would be a USC player making the people's Heisman list would be a great example of in our way of thinking. That's our version of adversity. You know, he really overcame playing at a high profile school and being on national television every week to make it into people's Heisman consideration. Anyway,
I have another. Right. I have another from USC, and that would be Adoree Jackson. Remember Adoree Jackson, because like in addition to being a very charming and versatile player, right, who really couldn't rack up enough. Sort of, he couldn't rack up, like, given the way he played at corner, and then they sort of really they used him on punt returns, right? He couldn't build up enough of a profile to become like a statistically super significant player in terms of awards, right? But Adoree Jackson also, this is like when he got he got slipped and fell on a route that John Ross faked him on a slant and went deep in 2016. Which that happens, right? It happens to good players. The best part is that after that play happened, John Ross on Twitter, Adoree Jackson on Twitter, reacted with like, LOL, it happens, bro! And then like, you know, crying emoji. It's the little things like that that get you consideration and make you an interesting player at sort of an otherwise like, excellent football monolith.
Yeah, here's another one I would throw out from a big school. Denard Robinson.
Ooh.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, we've agreed Cardale Jones would have been eligible, right?
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. So Cardale Jones would have been a front runner.
Yeah.
So, like, if Ohio State's eligible, almost everyone is eligible. Let's go straight to the top here.
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
Oh, Jesus. Golden Tate. Golden Tate would have been the best case people like. I'm sorry, but into the Michigan State band.
That's a solid argument.
Yeah.
This is another example of that. This is actually a great follow up example because this is another instance of a player overcoming being at a famous football school to vault himself, quite literally in this case, into people's Heisman consideration.
Yeah, I would also maybe include Quentin Nelson in that, but I base that strictly on a series of cut ups Cole Kublik did of him that was like, it was like 20 snaps of Quentin Nelson taking people's souls on blocks and then just being like a giant old doughboy looking hammer of a man on the sidelines. So I think that's valid.
I think, yeah. Like that's the equivalent of high stepping on a touchdown, right?
He's mm-hmm.
I would have also said Louis Nix, mostly because he gave himself the nickname Irish Chocolate.
I'm actually embarrassed I didn't think of Louis Nix first because do you guys remember the, I don't think it's up anymore, but do you guys remember the love letter YouTube video he made to Kashi Goline cereal? Yes. Which was Louis Nix lounging seductively on what appeared to be a dorm bunk bed, lip syncing to God Bless the Broken Road while staring at a box of Kashi Goline cereal.
Yeah, see, you can do this with Notre Dame. Now, a bigger challenge for me because of...
And bigger than Notre Dame?
Yeah, no, a bigger challenge for Notre Dame, just because of how restrictive they have been under Nick Saban, is Alabama. Like, can you pick anyone out of Alabama who you would go...
Under Nick Saban specifically.
Well, yeah, like, that's hard, right? Like, you can...
Link. sure, you can pick people out of Alabama. Not, well, under Saban, but I mean...
Who was the defensive lineman who designed video games? Or built his own gaming system?
Oh, yeah, he built like a gaming rig or
there
whatever.
Was Garrett Jones.
We're forgetting. Hang on, we're forgetting some quarterback that ran himself afoul of Nick in like
AJ McCarron is close.
Yeah.
No. You're missing.
I'm forgetting somebody super obvious.
Okay.
No.
Like I'm feeling there was who was I've got this memory in my head of some player running afoul.
Jacob
of Saban.
Coker.
Thank you. Okay.
Jacob Coker is the odds-on favorite from Alabama for the People's Heisman because. Everyone sort of forgot who he was. He was just this giant. Remember, he came in a crisis because when Alabama lost to, I believe that was Ole Miss the second time, the starter was Cooper Batman.
Yeah.
And
I like how we still have these call-in responses that are like muscle memory.
Cooper Batman!
That still live in here.
But he came in, Jacob Coker came in, and didn't have a clue what was going on, and it was great because he, in lieu of actually knowing where to throw the ball, he just decided to either hurl it deep or try to run over or get killed. Like that was his plan for the first three games as a starter, and yet eventually beat Deshaun Watson in the national title game. Right. So Jacob Coker is an example of a guy who was really good and ultimately won something. But I think you could still put there. He also wins because if you have seen the video that somebody did of a Key and Peele skit where Barack Obama is code switching with handshakes and daps.
And they did it with Alabama quarterbacks.
They did it with Alabama quarterbacks. And I think any of the ones who get the daps, you can put in as like potential people's Heisman. Like Blake Sims. I think there's like massive affection toward Blake Sims among Alabama fans. I think Jacob Coker is in there as somebody that they feel super affectionate towards. These are guys who don't get mentions because they didn't get in the NFL, right? That doesn't apply, by the way. That rubric doesn't apply to all Alabama quarterbacks. In that video, the one guy who gets stiffed, it's Greg McElroy. when you know, like he walks right by somebody trying to shake his hand. It's labeled Greg McElroy.
Throwback Alabama player, People's Heisman for an entirely different reason, but I think it needs to be included. Tyrone Prothro.
Oh.
Yeah. 100%. Also, I was going to give you...
Just because, Jesus, we got to give that dude a trophy for living.
Man, we're missing an obvious one here. Now, Kenny Stabler, I think, is also a double candidate for actual, you know, like, awarded excellence. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, NFL success, but also people's Heisman contender. There's one guy who's not, but who was a good quarterback at Alabama, but is still in coaching. That is Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens. Like, just
he's,
because one,
he's
say his name
in,
with a thick accent.
He's still in coaching. He's a goddamn NFL head coach.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he?
Wait.
No, he's with the Browns. That's the joke.
He's the head coach. Yeah, the Browns. Yes. The Browns are not a shitty team.
They're not. You take that shit to PAPN, Ryan.
I'm going to quote you two things that have been said or written today that I'm just going to hang on to for future use. One, yeah. The Cleveland Browns aren't a shitty football team. And yep. Two, Hugh Freeze uses liberty as safe harbor from scandal, right? Yeah. There. I'm just going to take those two things. I'm going to put them in the fridge. And guess what? They're going to keep for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use them when I need to. Okay? This is recorded testimony, and it is happening. The other team that I was like, who is not fun and who has been really good, that would be very difficult to pull a People's Heisman out of, right? For me personally, that's Florida State, right? Historically, really good football team, recent history accepted. And who would I pick out of Florida State as being like an actual interesting, fun player who I would not regard as like, you know, a mortal enemy?
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, he's fun. Like, he's fun. I was trying to think of players from Florida State who were
who took the
fun.
Most shoes.
That'd be
because that's definitely the most fun I've ever had with Florida State.
That'd be Peter Wart. Who was an awesome college player? Like, he's almost
who deserved the duffel bags of cash that were tossed his way.
This verges on, this probably is in the too good category, but Jalen Ramsey.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
I
you
would
know
double
what?
Him.
Jalen
up.
Ramsey has. It.
I'm kind of over the too good idea. Like, yeah. I don't think that matters.
No,
all.
I think
no, that's
can...
that's just adversity that has been overcome.
Okay.
On their
yeah,
part.
But Peter... yeah, he's good enough that it doesn't matter. He's good.
Jalen Ramsey, if anything, yeah. has made a retro. Jalen Ramsey might be the NFL People's Heisman.
Yeah, like
also
the
Warrick Dunn.
Yeah, no, Warrick Dunn is 100. Like mm-hmm. Warrick Dunn, like I don't like. Yeah, you give him whatever award you want. Warrick Dunn rules. A Florida player who, if I had to pick, like People's Champ. Going way back, Riedel Anthony, because Riedel Anthony, was not scared of anyone, including people he should have been scared of, and two, celebrated a touchdown on national television by pulling out an imaginary shotgun and then emptying it into the Alabama secondary after scoring a TD on them in the SEC championship game.
Perfect.
He, yeah.
I feel like I was thinking about how Tennessee is such an unfun football program in general, but every season, there's not a season in recent memory that I can't think of having a very strong candidate out of there. I mean, Rashawn Golden, my God.
I mean, Holly, y'all have a...
I mean, we have Tyler Bray, who should probably be some kind of saint. Can we name the trophy after him?
You also have Arian Foster. If you have a running back, a starting running back, who conducts an entire interview as a dinosaur, he's a People's Heisman candidate.
I could pull 10.
Underrated for weirdos.
No, this is what I was just thinking. Like, we have this reputation as being just like this staid, cranky mm-mm. Michigan State type football player. But the further I think back, the more I'm pulling them. Inky Johnson, man.
Yep.
Inky Johnson. I was thinking
John Henderson.
John Henderson
would be my top one.
In addition to just being like...
No, I was speaking of the part of when in pregames when he would climb into the student section and lead chants of blood makes the grass grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
just a big old psychotic grizzly of a man, oh. Right? Real sweet dude, like real cool. But
oh,
like,
he's precious, but not a game time.
Yeah. Derek Barnett, the guy who I was like, that is that dude is not physically gifted. Nothing about him scares
and
me.
And yet there are nine of him. How did he do that?
I think like he's the only player I know of who could actually teleport because I never actually saw him like out of position, but I never really saw him run. I have no idea how he did that.
It was a very button mashy style of football.
Yeah, Tennessee is that actually maybe be the best descriptor because the next play I was going to mention was the time our starting quarterback ran into his own goalpost and concussed himself in an SEC championship game.
Did that against LSU too, right?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
I would also consider Josh Dobbs and Alvin Kamara. The latter because
The latter because he was benched for most of the time.
Well, the latter because if you say you have an award called the People's Heisman and say that means the people are literally in charge. If the people in charge of Tennessee, they would have given him the ball.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I think Tennessee, actually, we hit a rich seam. We hit, like...
That might be the only reason that I still pay attention to the team at all, although I no longer go to games or give them money.
Yeah. Let me give you... I just want to give you two more, including one that's, like, in memoriam and is very important. Jared Lorenzen.
Yes.
Jared Lorenzen at Kentucky would have won the People's Heisman.
Hands. I think we should name the trophy after him this year.
That's a... Man, the Lorenzen trophy?
Yeah.
That's a strong suggestion.
Our attorney Ryan Nanny will figure out how to do that without estate.
Yeah,
matters, I guess.
Yeah. I'm gonna put butt on that.
Yeah, we have to make sure. And the only other one that I thought was, man, like super productive, like a really interesting player, and yet like at a team that where I have a hard time pulling those guys. I think it's another in memoriam, Stanley McClover at Auburn, because he was the guy who was a very productive lineman, is no longer with us, and did an entire interview where he talked about his mortal fear of frogs.
Oh, this is where I have to return to another Tennessee player, because how could we forget Eric Berry's fear of horses?
That's it.
So that's a little tip for any aspiring people's Heisman finalists.
Have an animal fear.
Disclose a confusing animal fear. If you say
not just fear,
right? Like phobia. you can't just say I'm scared of sharks. Like that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think a fear or the other way. Like Ed Oliver would have gained a lot of points,
right,
as would have Devin White for owning horses.
Right, right. Yeah. But like, go on in an interview. I'm scared of tilapia. Okay, now we're talking.
If you say that, or you say I own a tilapia farm, right, that's also fine.
Yeah.
Except that might get you into NCAA trouble. Hard to say.
Who is the player who is literally a chicken farmer? I can't.
Oh, Von Miller.
Yeah. Von Miller. That Von Miller's a consideration for sure.
Von Miller and Ed Oliver both could have won both.
Texans have a natural advantage here. Are you naturally encouraged to be larger than life? Are you agricultural adjacent? Yes.
I'm building my own space shuttle. Self-funded. Yeah.
Are you smarter than you should be, but in kind of a weird way? Right? Like Von Miller. Yeah, man, I'm a scientist. Cool. A poultry scientist. All right. Now we're talking.
Better.
Yeah. Even better, y'all.
I was thinking about players who might have won their way into the circle through fashion. Who's the Miami quarterback from a couple years back?
Ja'Cory Harris?
Yes. Ja'Cory Harris. Yeah. Ja'Cory Harris was actually, I feel bad saying this, was too bad to be.
but his outfits.
I know, but the problem was Ja'Cory Harris, like, I'm pretty sure if you were to see like what gets filled out in Google next to him, arm punt is going to be on there. Like, yeah, you can't.
That's in his favor here.
I disagree. I think it's just too much of a like lasting memory of like.
All right, Spencer, we have two yays and a nay. What's your up or down?
I think he was too bad.
Oh,
I know.
We're gonna let Floyd decide.
But
Brian,
I am.
Hang on, guys. Hang on. There's five of us. We need to have the fifth man vote. Brian.
Damn it.
The other problem with Ja'Cory Harris's candidacy is that, in the same way that Jason's saying the West Coast players get this kind of inadvertent bump because they play at night and they play weird games, whatever, like if you play at Miami, you really have to go above and beyond to stand out at Miami.
I don't know. I feel like he gets the Thursday night bump because Miami was on Thursday every week during his senior.
Oh, God.
That's true. I have one case that I think really bolsters Jason's insistence that excellence in both the pros and in college is not necessarily a disqualifier or even a factor that we should consider. And it's this.
Rex Grossman.
Deion Sanders.
Brandon Cox.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. Because Marshawn Lynch, this is the amazing thing about Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was as much of a college football type college football player as you could want, right? He was the guy who leaned back and told the crowd, like, hey, this line's doing work, y'all. I'm taking them all to Sizzler.
The injury cart incident?
Which has since been memorialized in a bobblehead.
Yeah.
Wait, has it really?
Yeah, Cal gave it away last year, 2 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, and how did he enter the field for that glorious occasion? On a cart with his mom.
Oh. Yep.
That's right. And just in case he couldn't be cooler, right? He was the guy who
This past year we saw Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl when he came to Atlanta this year. Where did he do his autograph signing? At the West End Mall Athlete's Foot.
That's right. With the people.
Has a great cameo on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Danced with the cheerleaders after touchdowns, often with the ref begging him not to. Like, the ref's in the background like, dude, don't make me throw the flag.
Please, please, sir.
Please. Like, they're just trying to shove him. Like, don't make me. This is fun. Stop. And the cheerleaders also shocked, pleased, but shocked to see Marshawn doing their routine with them on the sidelines, but also as cool in the pros, right? Like, he only became more Marshawn. Like, what a rare instance of that happening. So I think obvious people's Heisman choice is Marshawn Lynch, and that kind of defeats the whole too talented argument. Now, I wanted to close this though with this. Did we forget anybody who should go on the watch list this year? Because Cole McDonald, clear front runner.
We haven't seen week one's games yet. It's way too early to say.
Yeah, I almost think a watch list is impossible for this award, because a lot of it, in many of these cases,
it's situational and surprise dependent.
Yeah, exactly. In a lot of these cases, these are players we're talking about. Like, Joel Lanning's a great example. No, you would not have entered that year thinking the most interesting or intriguing or delightful player is going to be an Iowa State quarterback who converts to linebacker and becomes the team's leading tackler.
No, you wouldn't have been able to predict that. Just got lucky. I think Spencer, what you'd be looking at there is a list of 2018's considerations who are still around, right?
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. You would look for people.
Let's see what Rashawn Golden does this year.
Yeah.
He's punching footballs loose in the pros.
Shh.
He's since gone viral with his mighty violent hands again.
I mean, I know one returning starter who is definitely a top five watch list people's Heisman candidate, and one very close to your heart, Jason. Yeah.
Well,
it's Joe Burrow.
Oh, right.
We spent many minutes talking about this.
Yeah. So he's also on there as somebody who is definitively on the watch list. I can't think of anyone else who is super obvious. But yeah, we'll watch. We will watch.
Yeah, I guess we should watch football.
Yeah,
that's kind of our job. So.
Interesting. Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to ask is, do we have any names that won't get us sued sitting right here before we take it to the people, which we're going to take it to the people, but any that we want to get off our hearts before we begin that?
For the award itself?
Yes, for the award itself.
I'm not confident.
I think that's for later in the season.
Okay.
Let's hang on.
Can I offer my one idea there?
Yeah.
Just to throw it out.
I see no way of stopping you.
I mean, you could just press stop. There's a button called stop. It would stop me.
No, now the people listening to this podcast know that they have that button too. God damn it. You've ruined us.
I think it would be fun to name the award after a particularly accomplished NCAA 14 creative player. And I think if anyone out there has a player who truly fits the bill, I think the Shutdown Fullcast account would like to hear about this player.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll use one of these names. Maybe we won't. No one else on this recording needs to actually look at these, because I see them, so they won't clog your mentions, just mine.